T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This segment brought to you by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam is clinically proven to relieve leg and foot cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at TheraWorksRelief.com. Let's head to D.C., where we're joined by Cubs broadcaster Len Casper. You hear him after the game on The Score when they win, with player interviews, doing play-by-play in the fifth inning for Pat Hughes right here on the Cubs radio network. Len, as always, appreciate the time. How was the bus ride to the airport and the plane and all that with the team last night?
Well, I slept on the entire bus ride, so that was good.
Nice.
I figured with a late night tonight, everyone could use their rest. We actually traveled at a pretty good clip and got into D.C. I think just after midnight. And, I think everyone will be ready to go tonight. You're kind of running on adrenaline at this point in the baseball season anyway, and I think the mental fatigue becomes more important than the physical fatigue. But I think both teams will be pretty excited to get out there tonight. The atmosphere, as you guys know, having been here last week, will be pretty good in D.C. And I just saw a note that, and I don't know if you guys had mentioned the Metro here, they had some issues because the district would close the train station down like at 11:40 something.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while with an extra inning game, some fans had to leave early. I guess they're going to extend those hours tonight, which makes a lot of sense. In a game like this, you can't have people leaving in the ninth inning. So I think it'll be a great atmosphere. It'll be a packed house. There will be Cub fans, but I don't think we're going to hear them quite as much as we would in other ballparks. There were a lot of Nationals fans here the first two games, but as we know, the Cubs are not going to be intimidated by that.
Let's go backwards before we go forwards, Len. How effective, I mean, like, how good was Steven Strasburg's stuff from your perspective there in the broadcast booth? I mean, that it's so easy to sit there and say, gosh, just lay off that changeup. But my goodness, it's just filthy.
I'll go back to game one. These two starts have been two of the best I've seen by anyone ever. And I think Anthony Rizzo said it after game one. He said basically he was the best pitcher he had ever seen. And the Cubs won that game, as we know. Strasburg with 22 strikeouts and 14 innings in this series. Last night was epic. I said it on the air in the fifth inning. Whatever narrative was going to be written about Steven Strasburg, he finally had his say by what he did on the mound, and it was really impressive. And, you tip your cap to him. I know that some Cub fans are upset that the team, looked flat offensively. But when you face a pitcher like Strasburg, most offenses will look that way. So I don't put last night on the bats at all. I just think he was that good. And, tonight it's probably going to be Gio Gonzalez or Tanner Roark. The biggest question, I think, as you face this team is, will Max Scherzer be available? If so, how much can he give Dusty Baker? And if he is available, why wouldn't you consider starting him? The first couple of innings, as you guys know, become really important, especially in a low-scoring series. So I would be tempted, if Max could start for them, to have him pitch the first couple of innings and try to get through that with a scoreless tie against Kyle Hendricks, as opposed to having him in my back pocket. But it kind of sounds like, based on everything I've read, that they're probably going to go with Gonzalez or Roark.
How much has Dusty used starters in relief so far in his career? Because I, of course, think back to 2003 when Jack McKeon did and Dusty did not. And when Scherzer comes in looms extremely large in this. Like, if he doesn't start Scherzer, and I would actually expect him not to, but would he use Scherzer in the middle innings, or does he think about waiting until the end and then maybe it's too late?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I haven't really looked back at all of his playoff runs and how he has used his starters, but I do think those guys will all be available. I thought John Lester was great last night. We know about Verlander and Sale the other day. David Price is, you know, pitched in relief for the Red Sox. So just about everybody in the postseason, you know, we're talking Cy Young candidates have done it. And I think Scherzer would have done it last night had they needed him. But you have to make sure it's the right moment. You have to make sure he has enough time to get loose. So I think for the Nationals, tonight probably becomes mostly about who needs the routine the most, who needs to throw the first pitch of the ball game. And, you know, the guy who says, look, you use me wherever you need me, probably is the guy available in the bullpen. And having said all this, the one small advantage, and it may be a large one, for the Cubs, kind of goes back to their World Series run in that we knew all along Kyle Hendricks was going to be the starter tonight if a Game 5 were necessary. There's no controversy. There's no decision to be made. And I think Joe Maddon's expecting him to give the Cubs six or seven innings again tonight. So you hope that it plays out the way the Cubs will have planned it with their starter this evening.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly feel good with Hendricks on the hill. It's, you know, the cruelty of baseball is what we've been talking about. It's 166 games that comes down to one on the road against a really good team. You mentioned the offense against Strasburg, and I'm with you. He's been amazing. They are hitting 159 as a team for the series, and we know that there was some concern before the series that they had feasted on bad pitching, which we know is what most teams do. Good pitching beats good hitting. But 159 for a team in the series, do you put any more validity on the offense overall beyond when they're facing Steven Strasburg?
I think that they're facing one of the best staffs in baseball, and if they get through this one tonight, they're going to face the other one in the Dodgers. These are the elite of the elite, and you know, runs are definitely at a premium. I think the lesson learned, and the Cubs have learned the lesson over the last now three postseasons, is that you have to pitch as well as the other team, and you can't make mistakes. And I think that's, Danny, if I had to pick the one thing about this series that's been the most worrisome, is that the defense hasn't been nearly as good as it was in the second half. The Cubs were not that good defensively early in the year, but by the end of the season, they were back to being very similar to the team we saw last year. And in the month of September, the Cubs gave up a total of three unearned runs the entire month. They've allowed two in this series, and that doesn't sound like a big deal, but it has been when you have all these low-scoring affairs. So for me, I think if the defense is good tonight, that's number one on my list, is just don't make mistakes. And then if you can squeeze out a run or two like they did in Game 1, you hope that that's enough to win this series.
So assuming it is Gio Gonzalez, the Cubs, they started Almora in center, Zobrist in right, and Happ in left, so there was no Hayward. Baez did get the start. Would you expect Hayward then to prioritize defense in Game 5?
Not necessarily. I think you have him in your back pocket if and when they make a change. I think Joe would feel comfortable with a similar lineup that he used against Gonzalez. We probably end up, and I don't think Joe will overthink it too much, but you do know that, number one, if you get to Gonzalez early, you're going to have a lead, right? And so if you end up going Gonzalez Roark or Gonzalez Scherzer, that usually means you've got a lead or you've scored some runs off that guy. So then you can bring in Hayward against the right-hander and feel pretty good that now you're going defense for offense. And if it's Gonzalez for six or seven innings, you pretty much know you're not scoring runs. So I do think that the offensive part of it becomes, in the end, you know, defense does trump offense occasionally in the starting lineup, but I do think most managers are going to lean slightly toward the offensive part of it to start a game.
Len Casper in D.C. on 670, the score, part of our broadcast team. As Danny said, he'll hear him doing pre and post, and with Mark Grody, and also calling the fifth inning with Ron Coomer. So two up, two down for Carl Edwards Jr. in this series. Maybe because he pitched yesterday and there's no off day, it makes the decision easier. But if you're Joe Maddon, do you trust Carl Edwards Jr. tonight if you need him?
Here's how I look at it. He might side with Strope over Edwards tonight,
mm-hmm.
but the big picture answer is yes, you have to trust your guys who got you here. And I do think if the moment fits, Joe will use Edwards tonight. It's like field goal kickers, man. You got to get them right back out there. And if your guy got you to this point, I think you got to ride him until the season ends. And you hope it's not tonight. You hope it's in about 3 weeks at the end of the World Series. But we all know how it works with Carl. He's given up the lowest batting average of any reliever in Major League Baseball, but he walks people. So you have to decide that moment when you feel comfortable that he can get a guy out, and if the command isn't there early, you might have a quicker hook than you normally would. But I do believe Joe has confidence in Carl. In these short series, you have one or two bad ones, and people get a little itchy, but I don't think Joe will. As it pertains to Edwards tonight,
that's the one thing I would have done differently if I'm Madden yesterday, as I would have pulled Carl after the first walk. But I understand what he did. You know, we saw him fall out of love with Strope and Rondon last year. I hear what you're saying. What's ideal tonight? Seven innings from Hendricks. Could it be Quintana in the eighth, or if Murphy and or Harper are up there in the eighth?
I think everybody's available, except for Lester, obviously. But no, I don't think you put Quintana in a spot, especially with a one-run lead. I think it's Dunsing and Montgomery, and to a lesser extent, Wilson, who pitched a little last night. No, I think you go with your top relievers in those spots. You're not saving Quintana for game one against the Dodgers per se, but you're not going to throw him into a situation in which he's never pitched before. I think you're going to stick generally with the template that you've used throughout. Lester was great last night. You know, I don't want to think ahead, but I guess this is a talk show and we can. You know, if the Cubs win tonight, guys, John Lackey's probably going to get a start this weekend.
Game one.
Well, if Quintana goes today, game one potentially.
Oh, right,
but
right, right.
But if Quintana doesn't go, game two.
Yep. So, you know, and I'm comfortable with that for sure. But, you know, you do what you got to do at this point. And that's why you have those extra starting pitchers available and still on your roster, is that you might need everybody. So, yeah, buckle up. Here we go. It should be a lot of fun tonight. And I know Matt stopped by the booth. Danny, I don't know if you did, but we are literally on top of the world here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's up there.
I was genuinely frightened when I moved over to the edge. And I'm like, all right, some straps would be nice. Can you buckle me to my seat?
Somewhere?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, wow. Well, they're that might be available, but I don't think you guys are coming tonight, are you?
No, we're here in Chicago
all
for
right,
you're
it. Safe.
Yeah, we're safe.
Okay.
1 to 10, 10 being the most surprised by anything you've ever been on a baseball field. Where was Wade Davis giving up an opposite field grand slam last night?
On a night like that?
Yeah.
That's a 10 for me. Did not see that coming at all. And I was actually watching that moment with FP Santangelo from the Nationals broadcast, and we just couldn't believe it. Wade doesn't give up home runs generally. But then on a night like that, to have Michael A. Taylor hit the home run. There were a couple of home runs hit last night that didn't leave the yard. Russell for the Cubs, Wieters for the Nationals. And I just, as the night went on, the weather got progressively worse. And I didn't expect anybody to reach the seats.
Yeah, I was floored. I think it's possible that he comes back, and it's just the plan, the hope is Hendricks Davis. And that's the plan.
Six outs.
Sure.
Six outs if need be.
Yeah, six outs if need be.
I think Joe would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
All right. You said we're a talk show, so we can look ahead. Looking ahead long term, paying Wade Davis does not seem like them in terms of his age and paying for past performance. Carl Edwards, as your closer of the future, has been the talk, but how do you feel now about that? There's lots of bullpen issues. Justin Wilson being bad since he's been here.
I'm not worried about how they will configure their bullpen next year. I think they've done a really nice job of that. I think Wade Davis is a guy you will definitely talk to try to bring back. It's going to come down to how many years he wants and how much money someone is willing to spend on a closer in the off season. Last year's market, as we know, guys got paid. Mark Melancon, I believe Wade Davis is roughly the same age, has had a better run as a closer. Melancon got 4 for 60, I think. But Melanson also had a bad year and ended up injured with the Giants. So we'll see how that market last year will affect this offseason. I think Wade Davis loves pitching here as a Cub. It's just a matter of whether the Cubs would give more than maybe 2 years.
Has there been a single thing that Joe Maddon has done in this series that you've disagreed with?
Oh, I think there are always things that happen where you wonder. But something, really that has stood out, not really. You know, the one for me that I was on board with that I was surprised people weren't was the Quintana taking him out and bringing Strope in the other day. I thought Jose gave the Cubs exactly what they wanted and more in his start. And as great as he had been, you just didn't know with his first postseason start how it would go. We know that that Zimmerman took the lefty deep the other day in D.C., and so Joe, went with the right-hander in that moment, and Zimmerman ended up with the hit to give the Nationals the lead. But I didn't feel that was a decision. To me, it's either it's one or the other, right? Either you didn't like the Montgomery versus Zimmerman, or you didn't like Strope against Zimmerman. It can't be both, I guess, is the way I looked at it.
You know, the Ben Zobrist trust and love and usage is something that, as Danny said the other day, we just kind of have to throw up our hands and say, okay, there it is. And Zobrist has had good at-bats and had some of the doubles. But, like, it extended even to last night. Ian Happ staying in for Hayward in right as opposed to Zobrist in left. That surprised me.
Well, yeah, and I think Joe, it's trailing versus leading. I think that matters a lot.
Yep.
And how he configures his defense. Ben is not obviously in terms of defensively on your list. You would rate obviously Martin ahead of him, Almora ahead of him. I don't think that ball was catchable the other night. The game-winning home run here in D.C. But you're going to make decisions, you're going to live with them, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But as you guys know, because you have him on every week, he's got a very detailed explanation for every decision he makes. And, I'm fortunate enough to get to ask him a lot about those decisions, and it's pretty rock solid when you hear it from the boss.
What do you think is his toughest decision tonight?
His toughest decision tonight, I think, is going to be his bullpen and trying to figure out, if it's a tie game or the Cubs are trailing, when to make that move to get your bullpen cranking. Because as we saw in Game 7 last year, Kyle seemed to get better as the night went on. He had Lester up, and it was kind of the moment of no return where he had to make that move to get Lester and Ross into the game. So I think those are generally your biggest decisions in an elimination game. Is once your pitcher leaves, that's it. You go to the next guy, and you hope that he's going to be as good, if not better. So that's probably his biggest decision tonight.
That's the game that, of course, comes up in my head, and I said it earlier. You got to figure that if he needs him, he's thinking Hendricks, Quintana, Davis. I just hope he doesn't get like locked into that to a fault, as kind of happened last year with Lester.
I think I really think that the guys in the middle he trusts, and I don't think. Once you get to a certain inning that you're probably going to see Quintana, I think once you get past the fifth,
okay,
Quintana's there for maybe extra innings. But, man, I don't know how you guys feel, but I hate the idea of throwing a starter who hasn't done it much, if at all, into the seventh inning of a tie game.
Well, that was Lester last year, but he's John Lester. He's a different guy.
Correct. Absolutely. And it was a different team. It was a different makeup of your roster. I feel like he feels good about the options he has once you get past the sixth inning.
What's the weather like there?
Right now it's kind of crummy. It's looks a little hazy. We're going to be in the 60s. I don't believe rain is really an issue, but it should be fine. I don't think it's going to be a beautiful, glorious October night, but certainly a night on which we can play Game 5.
What's the mold count?
Seven.
Seven. Okay, good.
I don't even know how to calculate mold count.
No, neither do I, but I know how to mock it. All right. Thank you, Len.
All right, guys. Should be fun.
Have a good call.
Later. Okay.
Appreciate you. Yeah, we'll be listening.
Yeah, fun is one word to describe it. I agree that it should be fun, and it will be fun.
I'm excited.
Jay Zawoski does not feel the same way. He doesn't have fun is not the operative word, I don't think, for Jay.
I've been eating a lot of food, stress eating already. It's 11:20. This is not. I've had a bag of popcorn, a cupcake. Rick brought in some now and laters.
Uh-huh.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got to roll me home.
The pollen count is at a moderate level in D.C. today.
Okay, good to know.
Thank you, Campy.
Very worried about him.
Thank you.
We had talked to Jay and some of you listeners at 6711 via text about what happens to you emotionally during games like tonight.
Yeah.
Where it's a level of anxiety that you've come to expect and you like it, sort of, but it's awful at the same time. So feel free to keep sharing those stories.
312-644-6767. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. Also, you want, in terms of big picture, another thing that I got from last night that was actually positive at Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's right. That's Bryce Harper, one of the three best players in the world. Audio brought to you by UPSJobs.com. Want up to $125 in weekly bonuses and $25,000 in tuition assistance. Be a part-time UPS package handler in Hodgkins, Gary, or East Chicago. Visit or apply at UPSJobs.com. Also on Snapchat after the game.
See, now I rely on you.
Oh, I'm not on. I mean, I have a Snapchat, but I don't use it. This was just sent to me on Twitter by someone who apparently is on Bryce Harper's Snapchat.
Okay.
Took a snapshot of it. Bryce Harper
and Chris Bryant and wives. Where are we here?
Well, no. Chris Bryant's not there. The wives aren't there, but they are good friends and teammates and the whole thing from back in the day.
Grew up together.
Yep. Bryce Harper snapping a picture of the Wrigley Field marquee, looked like from maybe the team bus as they were leaving. It was nighttime. It was after the game. Until next time, love this place. Great win, boys. Now, obviously, that could just be next season that he's talking about, but Bryce Harper has teased us, speaks for a long time about that's, teaming up with Chris Bryant.
Yeah, but that's very different than the hashtag someday or whatever the hell it was when
right.
they took the pictures. This
right,
is just...
If that stuff didn't happen, I would completely ignore this. But because that happened, love this place, and he loves those... Bryce Harper's going to be a Cub.
Do we know Great Win Boys wasn't... This wasn't from after game three. Maybe he's cheering for the Cubs. You ever think of that?
Huh?
Is there a detective cap on?
Is there a timestamp? That was long.
It was longer than I thought it was going to be.
That was long. Yeah, that was very long.
It was longer than I thought it was going to be. Sorry. I'm still working on, I know how to use this one.
Yeah. No, sorry. I like
sorry.
It. I like it, though. I like the dramatic.
I mean, he could be the guy that gets them, back to the World Series.
It can't be. He's just always there.
Yeah, he's there. He's still here. He's representing the trolling Sox fan.
Still here, unlike the White Sox.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Good luck in your quest for 75 next year.
I had a waiter last night. I guess he was a sommelier over at Shaw's, which is just a phenomenal place. Shaw's Crab House was fun to be there last night as the MC for Oyster Fest, as I was for a moment.
Wait, what did you do last night?
I MC'd Oyster Fest.
You MC'd Oyster Fest.
Yeah,
how do you get that gig? That's a good gig for you.
A good friend of mine from eighth grade is now a guy who runs a couple of different Shaw's places.
I saw MC Oyster Fest open for Cool Mo D in 86.
Was it a tough ticket?
Well done.
Back then it was,
well
yeah.
Done. Yeah, sure.
All those shellfish wraps, they haven't aged very well, actually. It's like, how much material can there be? But yeah, no. So I'm at Shaw's, which
is
just phenomenal.
During the Cubs game.
During the tail end of the Cubs game, yeah.
Wow.
From previous commitment, I had to keep my commitment.
And so it's how much? What is it? What
I did
is
about
Oyster Fest?
It was about a nine minute gig for me. I did about 20 seconds of actual oyster slurping play by play as they tried to eat 12 oysters as fast as they could with no hands.
That's what the contest is?
Yeah.
At a classy place like that?
Yeah, the finals are Sunday night. You can go to shawscrabhouse.com if you want to get tickets.
Are you emceeing that?
I believe Jason Goff is the MC on Sunday night. I believe that's the case.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I'm at Shaw's last night, and the sommelier guy, the wine guy, was saying, boy, these games make me think of what it's going to be like in a couple years for the White Sox. He was really so campy. There's another way to look at it rather than just trolling your friends. is that you could look at it and say, someday soon, this will be me feeling this tension with a batch of young kids who might just burst through.
See, and the thing is, everybody just thinks I'm purely hating on the Cubs, which I'm not. I'm trolling you guys. That's right. What it is. Like, I actually had more joy out of the Indians losing last night because that's the team that the Sox go against in their division that I care more about being out of the playoffs than the Cubs.
So you're not trolling your friends. You're just trolling us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I understand.
Noted.
I understand. Yeah.
Noted.
I get the distinction that you're going for there. See, you want to talk big picture about, like, damn, what's the Cubs bullpen going to look like last year? Wilson, you can't trust him. Edwards, you can't trust him.
Yeah.
I want to talk big picture 2 years into the future when they decide not to pay, like, Kyle Schwarber or something, and they give that money to Bryce Harper.
Well, if you're going to decide,
be a good team.
If you're going to decide not to pay one or two of your prize young kids, and you are going to pay Bryce Harper or something down in the future, then go ahead and trade one or two of those young kids for a big treasure trove of young arms.
Why can't they just pay everybody? They're printing money.
They could.
Besides, they're hard up for cash.
I like
just
that.
Build another hotel.
I like it.
Slap another ad on this. Come on. We can use another Jumbotron.
Yeah, is the Ivy sponsored yet?
There's no screen up in the sky. You could add one that just faces down.
We got to get Speed One parking stickers on every leaf of the Ivy.
Ray? Hey, Diaz. Diaz. I like that.
Mm. This texture says, Jay, I feel you. I'm 185 pounds. I've already eaten a Whopper Junior meal for 9 a.m. coffee break. Now I'm having a rib tip dinner for lunch. My stomach hurts.
Dinner for lunch. I like that.
Nice.
That needs a name.
Well, if he had the Whopper Junior at 9 a.m.
Hey, it's a junior, okay? Come on. He's trying to eat healthy.
That's a longstanding podcast principle is dinner for lunch.
Yeah.
And the Whopper Junior, the Junior does make you feel better. It's like when you have lettuce on the burger, you know?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Junior bacon cheeseburger. Okay. That makes it better.
When I'm watching the game, I go full vomit Zawoski mode while the Cubs are in the field. Then I feel a huge sense of relief when they come to bat. Does that happen? Do you ever got half inning
absolutely.
Off?
When they're batting, I'm free. I'm happy. I'm like at a Dead concert. Like, woo, this is great. But it only lasts 2 seconds.
Right, and then they're striking out again. And hitting double plays the entire time.
You're dancing on the hill at Alpine Valley in your mind.
Everyone's happy. You're there's a nice around. Smell.
This guy says, true story. I've been getting low-grade fevers for the past week at night. I found it out of the norm, went to the doctors. Long story short, I was told they've been happening due to stress. He asked if I had any stress in my life. I said Cubs and playoff baseball. Yes, the Cubs are causing me low-grade fevers, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Man, like, good for you guys. Like, I care a lot, and I will celebrate the win. But, like, the...
Faith no more for the win.
The game, man. Like, the games are different for me after last year. They are. Maybe that sucks. Maybe that makes me less of a Cubs fan or something. But, like, winning the World Series changed the angst.
I think losing will ultimately hurt less than it usually does. But it's not making it any easier right now.
Okay.
So, but if they lose this series, it's not going to be a year of me feeling crappy about it.
Sure, you'll put on your Cubs World Series hoodie and you'll come to work.
Is it wrong that I just want to take some time after the show and write some raps for MC Oyster Fest?
You got some other writing to do this week too, champ.
I do.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
I do. It's true. But now I want to do like a whole fake album for MC Oyster Fest.
So I just didn't. I haven't had time to write the next track. Oh, what were you doing last night? MCing Oyster Fest. My bad. I didn't realize. You got a lot of gigs.
Yeah.
You got a lot of gigs. That's pretty cool.
I have a 2-week-old baby girl at home. I find myself holding her during most of the games. I'm usually demonstrative, jumping up and down, fist bumping. But while I'm holding the baby, I swallow it down to my gut so as not to throw her accidentally across the room. I think I'm doing irreparable damage to my internal organs, at least developing an ulcer. That could be. Gotta let it out.
I'm glad you're not throwing your baby during Cubs games, sir. Tremendous reserve by you.
Put
resolve.
The baby down. Babies off of closes only. Joel from Chicago says he was so nervous during the 8th inning last night that he took a call from his soon-to-be ex-wife to vary the stress.
I hope that's not true, but it's amazing.
He said it didn't help.
312-729-3965 is the Spiegel & Parkins voicemail line. You could always vent your stress out that way in a very helpful and therapeutic fashion. Therapeutic for you, helpful for us in terms of content. We got Charge and more Cubs talk. Charge in 20 minutes on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I love the stupidity of this show.
Jay, I told everybody that last night I had emceed Oyster Fest over at Shaw's Crab House, and Jay said, I saw MC Oyster Fest open for Kool Moe Dee once. And then I later said that all I wanted to do after the show was, you know, really flesh out the entire fake musical career of MC Oyster Fest.
And the texters are just coming in hot.
Just winning.
MC Oyster Fest's first hit, Shuck the Police. This is Give Me Shellfish, you're hearing.
Yeah, from 815 Lance, Give Me Shellfish. Yeah,
straight out of Low Tide.
Yeah.
I also like Bisque Is How We Do It.
Bisque Is How We Do It. We love you people.
Yeah, you guys are great. You guys are great.
Oyster bisque. No. Yeah,
whatever. Don't step on the joke.
Right, any seafood stuff clearly will do.
MC Oyster Fest coined the term mother shucker. Yeah,
you a bad mother. Shut your mouth. Man.
Oh, gotta be serious, guess.
Yeah.
Gotta be serious.
That was Gimme Shelter coming back. A texter just asked, what was that? I know that song. Yeah, it was Gimme Shelter in honor of Gimme Shellfish.
By the Rolling Stones.
Look at you knowing things, huh? Who's a guy who knows stuff?
Matt in Rockford's on the score. Matt, you know stuff.
Hey, Matt.
It's Pat.
Oh, sorry.
Well, geez, way to be sensitive about it, Patty.
Yeah. I know last night's game, my horses and dogs stay away from me. My question is, why in the heck are they not using Tommy Lasala to get on base? You got to have guys on base to win the damn game.
They did in game three. He drew a walk to lead off an inning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And who do you want him playing over? Who do you want him playing over?
Pardon me?
Who would you like him playing over?
Yeah, I know. That's a problem.
Mm. Well, I'm asking.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, call back when you got an answer on that one, all right, Pat?
He can handle the infield, but we're strong there.
Hence the tough call that Joe's facing. Thank you. Thank you, Matt Pat.
Javier Baez against Steven Strasburg, a tough matchup, obviously. And against Max Scherzer, Baez is having a rough series offensively.
Yes.
Defensively, a lot of value, made several great plays, or at least very good plays in game one to help Hendricks lock it down, including, remember that pop-up he went back and got in game one?
Yep.
Another one just coming in from a very deep spot where he was playing on a shift to get a ground ball. So
Baez did start the game against Gio, game two, in case you were wondering.
Mm-hmm.
The starters there were, the lineup was Almora in center, Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, Russell, Zobrist in right. He ended up shifting over to left. Baez and Hap in left, who shifted out of the game for Jason Hayward as a defensive replacement.
Hap didn't get a start. All right. No, he played.
Yes, he did.
No, I don't think so.
Am I reading this incorrectly? Yeah, I think three at-bats in the game. Hayward had shifted.
Game two? Game two you're looking at?
The one they lost. Am I looking? Yeah, no. NLDS game two. Yeah.
Hap started.
Yeah. Okay, my bad.
Hap started.
My bad. Thank you.
Thought so. Thank you, Campy.
Sorry about that.
You ass.
Apologies.
Doubting myself, I'm like, I feel like I know how to read a box score. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was the starting outfield in lineup for that game with Gio Gonzalez. But hey, you know, I don't expect much to change from Joe tonight. The whole season, he was like, consistency. That's what got us here. That's what allowed us to overcome our adversity. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, my guess is pregame, he'll be asked, like, what about Edwards? And he'll say, if the spot comes up again, I trust CJ. Like, I think that the pregame Joe Maddon today could be a little maddening, no pun intended, because he's going to be deliberate and he's not going to flinch at all in the face of any sort of adversity.
You know, it's the Strasburg stuff is the story of the day. The fact is certainly the story of yesterday, the fact that he was not going to start and then was shamed. Probably by teammates. We know for a fact some teammates were questioning him, as well as people all around baseball. And then he comes out and he does his thing. But it doesn't change the fact in retrospect just that the organization is ridiculous. Like I've gotten it a couple times today. Maybe it was all a ploy just to mess up the Cubs, the whole Strasburg starting, not starting thing.
Oh, okay.
No.
I don't think so.
They chased the misinformation aggressively with all media. They're texting media like all freaking day yesterday trying to chase down the damage that Dusty Baker had done, trying to clarify, reframe. This was not a ploy. It was Strasburg deciding to pitch in a game that was his to pitch.
And Dusty misspeaking.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the simplest part of the whole thing to understand, because it is a little convoluted. Like, I believe that he was somewhat under the weather, and I think that his routine had a ton to do with it and all that, but Dusty misspeaking about when the bullpen day was, implying and then explicitly stating that he was unavailable because he had pitched.
That caused a bunch of chaos.
That's what threw everything off into chaos.
Right. But do you remember that part of what Mike Rizzo said was to the Sports Junkies when we played that thing yesterday morning was they said, well, why did you bother to announce a starter? He said, we have to announce a starter. Nobody knows who's starting for them tonight.
Right. We're just assuming it's going to be Gio. Right. It could be Tanner.
It could be Tanner Roark. Hell, it could be Scherzer. They can still go with Scherzer. Rizzo could go down there and talk to Dusty and say, look, if you're going to throw him, why not throw him early, like Len Casper was suggesting. But that's just further mocking some of the ridiculousness that they had going on.
No, they deserve to be mocked yesterday.
It's just that Strasburg then comes out and saves all of them with that performance.
And clearly was fine. You know what I mean? Like health-wise. Like the whatever version of sick he was the day before, it seemed laughable to ever consider that he should not have gotten the ball. And that's why they weren't doing him any favors either. Like, he was looking bad on the organization.
Dusty,
but they didn't do Strasburg any favors saying, like, you know, he's sick.
He's just sick, guys. You
know, maybe he'll be there in game five. No. Who knows? He might be so sick that he can't pitch in two elimination games.
And then Boris got in his client's ear and said, really, how sick are you? You know, come on, let's go.
Right. So, yesterday was weird. And now it all comes down to this. And we haven't talked about Hendricks enough.
This is the guy you want.
Feel great about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or as great as you can feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not speaking for Jay, who just threw up during the last segment.
You know, I will say, and all of our, it's not like you have to take him out if you're rolling at all. Hell, let the man go nine if he's got it in him.
Well,
he's done it before.
I feel like that's implied. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, like, what managers in these spots pull guys at the first sign of trouble, usually. You can push back against that.
It's a winner-take-all game. You got everybody out there.
Yeah,
not Lester,
all hands
but it's
on
Quintana.
Deck, be fresh, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, let the man roll. How about a five-run lead and then just let him stroll?
That'd be great. Okay. That would be great.
That's my official request.
I always feel like, you know, I would take a complete game shutout, no-hitter tonight. Like, it's, yeah, okay, that's implied. But assuming there is adversity at some point, who do you think Joe is going to go to? Get in your questions. 312-644-6767. Text line 670-11. Charge is coming up. The preceding segment brought to you by UPSJobs.com. One up to $125 in weekly bonuses and $25,000 in tuition assistance. Be a part-time UPS package handler in Hodgkins, Gary, or East Chicago. Apply at UPSJobs.com. Charge next on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.